Today is the end of 2005. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Death. Death is a word that sort of grates on most people. It makes us feel very insecure. It makes us feel that it's the finality of things, it's the end of things, there's nothing more to be done, there's nothing more going on. It's the end. Well, it is, isn't it? It is the end. The very end of everything. Death is the very end of everything. Think about that. Death means there's no more. Death means all life ceases. Death means that's the end. But does it really mean that? And this is what we would like to think about. Does death really mean the end? I think that we have an interesting situation going on in our lives. All of our life, we have constant life and death, life and death, life and death. In other words, born and dying, born and dying. We have the trees dropping their leaves, and the leaves fertilize the plant itself, and the plant grows up, the tree grows up. And we think of this as the death of the tree, and then we know it's not. We know it's just going to sleep for the winter. We know that's how deciduous trees act. And there are some trees that don't act that way. They just are always green. And some trees that lose their leaves, and they lose them continuously throughout the year. And they continuously grow new leaves throughout the year. Well, our topic really falls more deeply into the death of a human being. We can have death of animals, and death of plants, and death of insects, and death of things like that. But the death of a human being is where we really stand now. When a human being lays down its life and stops living, now does it lay down its life, or does it lay down its body? And does it lay down its body, or does it take its body with it? Does it want to go to another show, another dimension, another activity? And indeed it does. Now there are many people who like thought travel. And they travel with thought very effectively, but they do not take their bodies with them. There are people who like physical travel, and they get on a plane or a boat, and they go beyond our vision. And to all intent and purposes, they are dead. They're no longer around. They're no longer in our life. They're dead. But they're living on another plane. They're living in China. They're living in America, they're living in Europe, they're living in Africa, who knows where they're living, you know. But they're living, and they, if we know what plane they took, we think we know where they went. However, when they get there, they could take another plane, and they could take a boat, and they could take a car, and they could take all, and walk. They could take all modes of transportation and move from place to place. And we might think they are living in Shanghai, and think that that's where they have their home, and they're not there at all. They're in Cancun, in Mexico. They're just having themselves a wonderful holiday in Cancun. And we think they're in Shanghai. Now, as far as we're concerned, they're alive in Shanghai, and they are not alive in Shanghai. They're alive in Cancun. You see, whatever we think is what is real for us. And if we think a person has died and left their body behind, if someone reports that a person has died, and then we believe that that person has died, for all intent and purpose, that person has died for us. As far as we are concerned, they are dead. And what other concern is there in life than our concern of what's going on in our world? Now, when you see a person die, and they die in front of you, and you're in a hospital, and all life ceases to fluctuate through their body, and you say, okay, bye-bye, and then you leave the room, and you go home. Well, the medical staff tries one more time for resuscitation, and they rescue the person, and they come back, and you don't know that they're back. But they're back, and nobody has informed you that they're back. You go home, you make all your arrangements for life without that person in your life. That person is dead to all intent and purpose for you, and you go on with your life thinking that that's the case. You feel a little sorry to miss them. And then, a few weeks later, the hospital calls you and says, you haven't come to visit your friend, your husband, your wife, your daughter, your relative here in the hospital. How come? And you say, well, when I was there, they died. Oh, yeah, that's true. But they were resuscitated. They were brought back. Oh! And you almost faint with delight and fright. How could you have been so cold as not to know that they were living? For you to think that they were dead when they were living, for you not to know that they were living, how could you be so cold and callous? And you rush to the hospital. And as you arrive at the hospital, they said, nope, they had a relapse. They're gone now. And you say, oh, my hopes are dashed. I expected they would be alive. I was told they'd be alive. They were alive for several weeks. I didn't even know about it. Nobody told me. And so again, you go home. And again, they resuscitate the person and bring them back. And you see, this could go on in an infinite number of times. And it could be very emotionally upsetting to the person who is left behind. And of course, it's rather traumatic to the person who's going through the experience too. But why do we do this? We die many deaths. Sometimes many deaths in this lifetime. Sometimes we die by going to other dimensions. And sometimes we take our bodies with us. And sometimes we don't. But in truth, we never really die. Our life spirit is always available to our body as long as the body might want it. No matter whether we might be dead for a decaying time. Some people say that the life spirit leaves the body 3 days after the body dies. Well, that's okay. That merely makes you feel comfortable in burying the body rather than letting it see it disintegrate into nothingness and then doing nothing, you know. Well, until all matter has been returned to its original form, undifferentiated matter, until it is all returned to that, the life force is still there. And why not? It's everywhere. And it could be rejuvenated into the body if such were the choice. Jesus made the statement too, if my body were cut up and sent to the far corners of the earth, and it needed to be present to speak out on behalf of the world, it would be there. It would be there. All the parts would be joined. All the essence would be joined. Now, he spoke from a non-scientific point of view, but it was a very scientific statement, because that's just how it works. Now, it may not be the same particles of atoms. It may not be the same individual atoms, and it may, but it's the universal undifferentiated substance. And it is there. We live eternally. We are ageless. We live in the allness now. But we fade away from it. We change ourselves from it. We run away from it by saying that we don't. We take a boat and we are not seen. And so we are, in all essences, dead. And if we die, people say, well, you're dead. You're not here anymore. And if you fly around the world backwards 12 times or 100 times and you have made time stand still and go backwards for yourself. This is a possibility. Would you be living like 5 days before you went around the world? Would you be living before you left? Well, you see, all time is now. And this is but another symbol of that. And life is eternal. No matter what little games we play as we go along, life is eternal. They take the heart out of one person and they put it in another person. They take the liver out, they take the spleen out, they take the various other organs out and they transplant them into another person. Now, what's the difference? What's the difference? One day they'll take the brain out of a person who has a body that's no longer beneficial to him, and they will put it in a brain-dead person, and he'll live or she'll live through that brain-dead person. The life of who we are, sounds gory, doesn't it? The life of who we are, the essence of life itself, is immortal. No matter how we play the game, it's immortal. And we could take this body we have right now, and we could begin to bless this body and see this body as a fantastic body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. We could say every organ, action, function of this body is perfect right now. We could so purify this body in its original purity and integrity. We could so return it to its original purity and integrity mentally, because mentally we've taken it away, mentally we take it back, mentally we are aware of its original purity and integrity and its immortality, and it lives as whatever we wish it to live. It can be an invisible substance, it can be a visible substance, it can be anything we choose. But wouldn't it be great if in our schools and in our homes and in our society and in our churches, so to speak, we would teach immortality. We would teach living in our ideal body, spirit, mind, and body. If we were to teach these things, we not only would be ageless, we would express our immortality, our eternity, in the here and the now. And what a marvelous experience that would be. Just dwell upon that in your mind for a while, and consider that it's not a joke. Consider that many have done it, and we are not aware of them, but it is truth. And when you consider it as that, then you start saying, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Every organ, action, function of my body is perfect right now. I am perfect right now. And as we begin saying those things for ourselves, that is who we are, that is what we live, and that's all we ever know. Wonderful, isn't it? What a way to start out the new year. Immortal, eternal, living forever, living in the now, ageless, full of life forever and ever and ever. Wow! Have a good day, have a good new year, and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.